Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Nerd Podcast. That's Never Ending Retro Dialogue for those of you not in the know.
Oh, you will be soon.
I am your host, Jordan.
And I am Doug.
And today we're going to talk about a living legend.
Could we say that this episode is bone chilling?
Ooh, chilling to the bone.
Chilling to the bone.
We're going to talk about one of our heroes.
Should we call it already? Friend of the show?
Definitely a friend of the show.
There we go.
Definitely a friend of the show. We are going to discuss the world of the legendary John Carpenter.
Yes. The man, the myth, the legend.
If you're unfamiliar with John Carpenter...
Oh my gosh, where have you been living?
Give him a Google, you'll know him when you see it.
Yeah. Oh, so much. I will say, I expected to find more movies that I hadn't heard of or seen. But when you go through his filmography, there's actually very few of his that I haven't watched. And that was shocking. Because always it's like, oh, I didn't know they, you know, oh, wow, they did, you know, 60 films or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's got like a whole 32 when you count TV movies and stuff. So that was interesting. But, boy, he's done pretty well with what he's did. Now, I will say right off the start, I have not watched his first one, Dark Star.
Right.
And I have never watched his taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. I believe I've seen the remake, or at least bits and pieces of it.
You mean Precinct 13?
Precinct. Pelham 1, 2. Different movie. Let's start over. Assault on Precinct 13. Oh, my gosh.
I haven't seen all his movies either, so we'll just kind of have to stick to what we know.
We're going
to
stick with what we know best, yeah. I will say some of the ones I've watched that we won't discuss are The Ward. I don't know if you've watched that or not.
I never saw The Ward.
It was all right. It was okay. I believe that's the last one that he's credited with directing.
Yes, all the way back in 2010.
Yeah, so he's not done a whole lot.
Well, you know, he's...
enjoying retirement.
He's 74 now.
Yeah.
Some days I can't do anything and I'm 30.
So. Yeah, right. I never watched Ghost of Mars. You said
you're
that
not
was...
not missing much.
Yeah, that's...
Sorry, John.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, we're just... we're going to stick to the real sweet spot of the world of John Carpenter. And kind of go from there. We're looking at one poster there.
Right.
Of, and then we're looking at another poster there.
Yeah,
of,
that's true.
So there's a lot of John Carpenter influence up in the Noft. I do want to mention, though, one of the things I know I've watched at least once, but we probably aren't going to talk about, is he did the TV movie Elvis.
Right.
The only significance, the reason I bring that up is he directed a young Kurt Russell in that.
That's true.
And from there, you get one of the great tandems in movie history, in my mind anyways.
Yeah.
And you'll see that as we go through. So, yeah, John, what is the first John Carpenter movie you can remember watching?
Oh, God. Probably...
that you knew it was John Carpenter.
Oh, that I knew it was John Carpenter?
Yeah.
Either Escape from L.A.
Uh-huh.
Or Big Trouble in Little China.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I would say, knowing that it was John Carpenter, it's probably Escape from New York for me.
Yeah. I think I saw Escape from L.A. before I saw Escape from New York.
Oh, wow.
Because I was young, and it was on cable a lot.
Sure.
So.
Escape from New York, again, and this has been a theme in several, was one of those movies that if it was on, my dad always left it on that. That and Big Trouble in Little China. I did not know Big Trouble in Little China was a John Carpenter movie for a little bit. And then it kind of clicked. You know, I finally went, oh, John Carpenter, wait a minute. That's the same guy that did Escape from New York. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, that's the guy. And then I watch Halloween and finally it caught me. Because I may have seen Halloween before those two, but I didn't realize.
I definitely saw Halloween before those two, but I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
About John Carpenter.
And I was telling you earlier, Starman, which is a movie that we'll talk about later. But I had no clue for the longest time that that he did that. That it just didn't click because it's so different. It has such a different feel than all his other movies. But it just shows you how talented he is as a director, because he can do a sci-fi movie that isn't horror and really knock it out of the park. But anywho,
he can do anything.
He sure can. Because if you've watched any of his movies, not only can he direct, but he can put a score to it, too.
That's true. So, yeah, I don't know. Where do you want to start? Now, you've never seen Dark Star?
I have never seen Dark Star.
I've never seen Dark Star either, and I think it was a student film.
Oh, probably.
So, I don't think that it's, like, widely available. But I'm on his filmography, and the reason that I bring it up is because he wrote, directed, produced, and composed it.
Yeah. Which is a theme you see in a lot of his films.
Yeah. He's a very multi-talented...
Yes.
Sometimes he'll direct something, sometimes he'll write something, sometimes he'll produce something, sometimes he will compose something, and sometimes he will do all of it.
Yeah.
Which is daunting.
Has his hands in a lot of things.
Yeah. But I never saw that one. And no. I don't know that it's even available anywhere.
No, I wouldn't. I don't. I watched the trailer, or a snippet of it, whatever you want to call it, online, and yeah.
I'd be interested to see it, just because it's a sci-fi comedy, and it's his first movie. And...
Yeah, it would be interesting just to see what it's like.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know. Maybe we'll give ourselves some homework.
Yeah.
There we go.
Everybody else out there can watch it, too, and tell us what they think.
Yeah. Or if you've actually already seen it, drop us a line. Tell us about it.
True.
Absolutely.
So do you want to go down your list, or do you want to go...
Oh, just go ahead. You know, so I made a list just because, you know, I'm, you know, shocker, a nerd like that. I just made my 10 that I really like.
Yeah, okay.
But, as we've discussed, there's only 32, so...
Only.
The 10 kind of would probably be the same 10 of yours.
Yeah. They probably
just
would.
Maybe in a different order, but yeah. So, no, go down and we'll just talk about it.
Okay, so the next one is Assault on Precinct 13.
Yes, not Pelham 123.
No. Now, I actually have seen this movie.
Uh-huh.
I watched it a couple years ago for Halloween.
Okay.
Because I thought it would be a horror movie.
And it is not.
It's not. It's much more of an action movie. I thought it was okay. I've never seen the remake. I think there's a remake.
There is a remake, yes.
Never seen that one. But this movie was pretty... I mean, it was alright. It wasn't my favorite John Carpenter movie, but it's very, like, low... Like, there's not a lot of characters, and it's kind of, like, low-key John Carpenter, so...
Gotcha.
I don't know. But, I mean, if you like action and you like assault, then this is the movie for you.
There you go.
You hate Precinct 13?
Yeah.
Then this is the one for you.
If you want to give it to Assault, Precinct 13, there you go.
Well, then, so that's 1976.
Yeah. Good year.
The next movie that he directs comes out in 1978. It's a little movie called Halloween. Which is appropriate because just a few days ago was Halloween.
Yeah, I think I've heard of this, right?
Yeah, it's like a little slasher flick that created slasher flicks or something like that.
Something like that?
I think it's credited with that.
William Shatner stars in that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know when the first time I saw Halloween... It's so ubiquitous with the Halloween season to me that I can't remember the first time I saw it. But... Yeah, I don't know. I watched it a couple years ago, or maybe last year. And it's amazing how well it holds up.
Oh. You
know, being, what, 40 years old?
Yeah. I absolutely agree. So, it's interesting to see people argue between Halloween and Friday the 13th and Nightmare. And they all have their merits, but there's other elements with both of those other franchises, right? And here you go. It's just Michael Myers and a knife and walking around. And it's just, I think what really does it, though, is that theme song, that music that plays in that movie is just so iconic. I mean, even if you've never watched it, if someone is playing the Halloween theme song, you'd be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's from Halloween.
Yeah, he did create that music.
Yes.
So that's another layer of John Carpenter that I think that's probably the most prevalent in pop culture consciousness is that theme.
Yes.
But I'm sure a lot of people don't know that he actually created it. They probably just...
And now it's forever in our lexicon.
But, yeah, so he wrote and directed that one and composed it. And it's got a killer soundtrack.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Thank you. The thing I like about Halloween is that it is, like we talked about in the past episode, like, until he actually starts killing people, it's so paranoid. It's such a paranoid movie.
Yes.
Because he's just credited as the Shape.
Yes.
And it's like, who is this? And, like, what's going on? And you don't, you know, he's just lurking.
Yes.
And it's like, it's not like Freddy who's over the top or Jason who's kind of like, you know, there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, on screen. So
there is some tension being built.
Yeah.
There's a little suspense. And... yeah.
Yeah, it's a great movie. They play it every year on Halloween. I try to catch it. I didn't catch it this year, but that's the thing. You can watch it whenever.
You know, scary season is never out of fashion.
No. It's always in our hearts.
Absolutely. You can watch a horror movie whenever you want. Halloween can be watched on Christmas. I don't care what anyone says.
Now, he doesn't have any... I don't know that he really has any ties to the new Halloweens, but...
Just besides the theme music.
But I haven't seen the new Halloween, so I don't know how they compare.
So, I enjoy them.
Okay.
The first one was really good, and I thought it kind of went back to that whole, there was some suspense, there's this, there's that. The second one that got dragged by people, I actually liked.
Oh.
It got a little more violent than some of the movies in the past when you think of traditional.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still nothing compared to the Rob Zombie Halloween movies. My gosh, those things were bloodbaths. But I enjoyed it. I have not watched the newest one. I know it's not done well. But I will watch it because we're such huge fans of the franchise in this house. But I think they're worth watching. That's just my opinion.
I'll have to watch those. I'm just terrible at watching movies when they come out. It takes a couple years.
There you go.
To catch up.
That's fine.
All right. 1980. This is an underrated one, I think. The Fog.
Oh. You're talking my language now.
I know. I never would have seen The Fog without you, I don't think. So.
The Fog in my mind, so I like The Fog more than Halloween. That's just me. I love Halloween, but The Fog, again, it's the paranoid. What in the world? You just see this fog, this mist rolling across the street, and you've got the music again. You've got just this ghost story of these pirates, right?
Yeah.
And then this stuff just starts happening. And it's, you can't explain it, what in the world's going on, and you're finding out as the characters are, too. It's got a great cast. You got Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yep.
You've got her mom in it.
Yep.
You've got Tom Atkins, who people would know. He's a great character actor, rugged. He's in Halloween 3.
We'll get there in a minute.
You've got Hal Holbrook's in it. You've got Adrienne Barbeau, just a great actress who's in several other John Carpenter movies. I'm not sure if the two of them were a couple at this point. I know at one point that they were an item, I believe, anyways. But oh my gosh, John Houseman tells the ghost story at the beginning of the movie to all the kids. The great, late, great John Houseman. Just... an amazing movie. I absolutely love The Fog. It never gets old. We watch it every year. And then some.
Yeah, The Fog is a creepy movie because you don't really see the monsters.
No, exactly. Not until the end.
Yeah, and you're just like, what's in the fog?
Yeah. It's even more of The Shape than The Shape is.
That's a good point.
It's, I don't know. I think it's horribly underrated.
Oh, it's terribly underrated. I mean, in my book, it's underrated.
Yeah. Now, they did do a remake
Early 2000s with Tom Welling.
Yes, terrible.
I never saw it.
It was terrible.
Looked pretty bad.
Yeah, it was not great. So, do not watch that. watch the original. Now, you're not going to have CGI and, you know, these spectacular firework effects, but that's not John Carpenter.
Right.
This is him all over.
Yeah, that was a really good one. And when you showed me that one, I was really impressed because I never really heard of it before. And I was just like, wow, this is really good. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think it's a strong movie, and I think a lot of people haven't really seen it, so.
It definitely gets slept on. Watch the Fog.
Watch the Fog, and beware. 1981, Escape from New York.
Oh, Escape from New York. Probably doesn't hold up as well as some of his other films. Yeah. But man, it's just a great movie.
Yeah, it's a nice action dystopian movie.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with Escape from New York, this is John Carpenter's first big movie with the great Kurt Russell.
Yes.
In which he plays the tough as nails Snake Plissken.
Oh, what a great character.
What a great name.
Anti-hero.
Yeah.
He is not a good guy.
No.
So up to this point, Kurt Russell, for his whole career, you know, he was in Disney movies as a kid.
Yeah.
He played Elvis in a TV movie directed by John Carpenter. He was always the clean-cut, squeaky-clean character and wanted to get away from that, wanted to branch out. And John Carpenter did him good.
He did good. Yeah, Escape from New York is cool because it's... I mean, everybody likes dystopian.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't know what year New York is set in, but it's like...
Isn't it in the 90s?
I want to say it's in the 90s.
It's like the 90s. So it's only, you know, 20 years in the future from when the movie's being made, but...
Yeah, so... And New York is a desolate wasteland.
Yeah.
Cut off from the rest of the world, and the president is kidnapped.
Kidnapped. By, plane shot down.
Yeah. What they call him, the Duke or something?
Something like that. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't know, but...
But a great cast, again, in this movie, besides Kurt Russell, you've got Ernest Borgnine is the taxi cab driver. Donald Pleasance, who was Dr. Loomis in Halloween, was the president. Adrian Barbeau is in it.
That's right.
Yes. Lee Van Cleef is the dude who sends him sends him on the mission. Oh my gosh. Great, great cast, great movie. Probably as the years go by, it slips a little as far as my favorite.
Yeah.
Where it ranks with my favorites, but boy, you just can't beat it. Again, great soundtrack. I mean, the music just goes with it. And Kurt Russell just knocks it out of the park.
He nails that part. What you'll see as a theme is Kurt Russell just taking these parts and just marrying with them. But yeah, I want to mention he did do the music for Escape from New York.
So. Yes.
That's probably why it's so catchy and everything. Because he's really good with, like, a synth and with keys and, like, kind of creating that horror dystopian feeling. So
correct.
If you're not familiar with his work as a music composer, go on YouTube or Spotify and look him up. There was a really cool one I used to listen to all the time called Lost Themes.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to listen to that and make comics all the time. And they were themes that weren't super, like, as popular of his. But he... as a musician, I think is underrated.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
In the same year, 1981, Halloween 2 comes out. Now, he's not really the director, but he did write, produce, and he did the music.
Yes, he was credited as the writer for it.
Yeah. I don't know, I just wanted to mention that because we're just going down
memory lane. It does exist in his world.
Yeah.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, great sequel. It's a great follow-up movie.
It is.
I want to say, I believe I watched Halloween 2 before the original Halloween. I think. That's a while ago.
Okay.
But I want to say, because the one scene that always pops out in my head is the hot tub scene, or the sauna scene, and one dude gets roasted in there.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's horrible. That's something that the Halloween movies are just... so creative with their violence sometimes. I don't
yes.
But that one wasn't his, like, he didn't... he is credited with reshoots, though, I guess, so...
Yeah.
It's partially his. But we got to get to 1982 so we can talk about The Thing.
Oh, here we go.
Which we have talked about on here before.
Yes.
Because of the cults.
The cult movies. Yes.
Cult movies. But The Thing is my favorite horror movie of all time.
It's Yes, it's right up there with me. Probably my, boy, right up there with Big Trouble in Little China. Favorite John Carpenter movie. It's just so good.
It's so suspenseful, and so the practical effects are just done so well.
Yes. It's, and then again, Kurt Russell knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
But all the actors did, they played it so well. You don't know who's, yeah. And the way they directed, and I know we talked about this in the cult movies, so spoiler alert, if you've never watched the thing that's, you know, 40 years old, we talked about it before where they hired Wilford Brimley on purpose to play his character because they didn't want to have a known actor be the thing that ends up infecting everyone because they didn't want anyone going, well, he's been off the screen for a while. Why isn't he here? Oh my God, he's the thing. No, he's just some dude that's locked in the shack.
Yeah.
And you're still wondering, it's got to be one of these guys, all these known commodities.
Yeah.
And it's just the way they did it, it's amazing. The script, the action, it's just, it's, and like you said, the practical effects.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure in today's CGI world, you could make that monster, and my God, the things you could do would be amazing. But to think that that was made 40 years ago and see what they did, and we're looking at that poster right now, my gosh, with the dude with the transmorphed face, it's absolutely fantastic.
And, you know, we talked about on our last episode, like, writers, when they convey their ideas.
Yeah.
How did you convey what you want the thing to look like?
Right.
Because, oh my God, the forms that that thing takes.
Yeah. I would love to have been part of those storyboarding sessions.
Yeah, not enough coming up legs. With,
yeah,
not enough crab legs. Always. Keep going.
Oh Lord, such a great movie! If for some reason you've never watched The Thing, do yourself a favor, pause the podcast. We give you permission. Go, it's somewhere out there in the ethos.
Yeah.
Watch it. Come back, and then we'll be here waiting for you.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It freaks me out to this day to watch it. I didn't watch it until I was an adult, and it freaked me out.
I can remember watching it as a kid. I can't remember how old I was. Obviously, I was at least six, but we did not see it in the theater, so okay. I'm sure it was when it was on, you know, Showtime or whatever. Maybe that it showed on regular TV and they edited it. I can't remember, but it freaked me out. That scene with the dog when it...
Oh my God, yeah. That freaked. And you know what's funny is they're making... I think NECA is making toys of that.
Oh gosh, no kidding.
Of the dog. Transforming into the thing. And I'm like, who would want this?
Jeez. Well, you know, I have some space.
I don't know. If I can look at that up here.
Now, I will say, even though it's not the world of John Carpenter, they did a new thing where it's the prequel.
Yeah.
So it's from the Swedish scientist side where it begins, where all the trouble begins. And that was an interesting watch.
I didn't watch it. I actually just shelved it at work the other day.
Yeah.
I wondered how it was.
Yeah. We've watched it. Not bad. It's not the thing. So I think that probably hurt my expectations. Yeah. It's probably worth a watch.
Okay. I'll have to see. I know where it is because it's under. Because I find it every time I look for movies. I happen to stumble upon it. All right. He didn't direct or write this movie, but we did want to talk about Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Yes, I believe he only produced it.
He did the. Well, and they credit him with the music as well.
Oh, of course, yeah.
There's a reoccurring theme about Halloween. So.
Yes. I think, depending on where you look, he's also. He wrote, but he's uncredited for that.
Okay.
So, in my mind, that just means that, you know, the dude who wrote it, you know, kind of bounced some ideas off of him.
Yeah.
And maybe he helped him get from point A to point B in a few areas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Halloween 3. So, Sharon and I actually just rewatched this. I bought it on Blu-ray because it gets talked about a lot about how it's underrated. Now, obviously, it flopped. Because it has nothing to do with Michael Myers.
Right.
The only time you see Michael Myers, spoiler alert, is for a commercial. But the idea was, from what I understand, is he wanted to make like this Halloween anthology series where they just have a different movie based around the Halloween season and they go from there. And kind of like your old style you know, Creepshow, Tale from the Crypts, you know, those kinds of horror anthologies. And the big goof is they named it Halloween.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted Michael Myers. They wanted the slasher. Now, have you seen it?
A long time ago. I remember the masks.
Mm-hmm.
Because they freaked me out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, have you seen it?
We just bought it, and we watched it 2 or 3 weeks ago. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It still has... So Tommy Lee Wallace, who wrote and directed it, I think did a very good job of capturing the John Carpenter feel for the movie. If I didn't know he didn't direct it, I would have thought he did. I thought they did a pretty good job. I liked it. I do believe it is underrated. And I think if you go in not knowing it's called Halloween, you'd actually enjoy it as a movie.
I think it's becoming more of a cult movie, too.
Because correct.
The people who like it kind of campaign for it and they fight for it. So,
I would agree.
So that was 1982. Big year for my man. 1983, Christine.
Oh, Christine.
Never seen Christine.
Oh.
I know it's about a killer car, though.
It is about a killer car. Oh, my gosh. So this is... I got this for Sharon on Blu-ray for birthday or Christmas few years back. Such a great movie. Such a great movie. I mean, what can you say? Now, I would be curious, how did Stephen King feel about the adaptation?
Yeah. Well, I wonder that about all his movies, you know?
Well, that's true. Because I wonder if... So, I will admit, I've never actually read Christine.
Nope.
I've only ever watched the movie.
I never read it.
And I absolutely love the movie. It's got a bit of a different feel, obviously, than... Halloween, but you still have that, like, it's an inanimate object, right?
Yeah.
So there's still just this, kind of like with the fog, it's like, what in the world is going on? And you just don't have any control over it because it's just a car.
Yeah.
But man, I don't know. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I wouldn't put it super high in my favorite John Carpenter movies. It's in my top 10.
Oh, okay.
But again, there's not a whole lot of his to go through. But, yeah. I would highly recommend it. It's a great watch.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see that because it's John Carpenter. So,
yeah.
Eventually, I've watched all the movies that he directed. So,
yeah.
We can do an update.
You can always borrow it, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
1984. This is one I haven't seen in a long time, so I'm not going to be very good talking about it. But Starman.
Oh.
Take it away.
Well, no, look, it's been forever for me. So Starman, like Escape from New York, was one of those movies whenever it was on, Dad would stop on it.
Okay.
That it because it just hit so many, it checked so many boxes, you know. The main thing being that sci-fi feel, which just goes to show his ability. Like I said, I was probably an adult before I made the connection that was a John Carpenter movie. Because it just, to me, there's nothing that screams, oh, it's John Carpenter.
Right.
So if you don't know Starman, it stars Jeff Bridges, who, if you can look it up really quick, I could have sworn that he was, like, nominated for this movie, for his performance in this. Maybe I'm wrong, because I am wrong a lot. but Karen Allen's in it. Of Indian Raiders of the Lost Ark fame. It's been a while, but he ends up taking her husband's place. This alien is, I believe...
nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actor.
Yeah. I forget, either she falls in love with him after he comes to Earth, or he comes to Earth and ends up taking her husband's identity. Do you have a synopsis really quick?
Oh, I think you're right about the taking on day.
Yeah.
Me.
And basically, you're watching this guy learn what it's like to be human. He's trying to be human. And it's just, I don't know. Admittedly, it has been quite a while for me. We do own it on video, or at least we did.
This is a very long synopsis. So.
But it is, if you love sci-fi... Watch the movie. If you love Jeff Bridges, watch the movie. It is a great performance.
Spoiler alert, Jeff Bridges is not a real bridge.
What?
I thought this whole time.
Man.
He's going down history as one of the greatest bridges.
Fake news. Fake news. Jeez.
Yeah, so I'd be interested to watch that one again because, like I said, it's been...
Look, it's probably
been... Can I say decades at this point?
Ooh. I would say it's been at least a good 10 years since I've watched it, if not 15. But even my wife enjoys that movie. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, she gets the stamp of approval.
Yeah.
1986. Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh.
Here we go.
Oh, okay.
This here is we the go. Thing. Big Trouble in Little China is my favorite movie of all time.
Yes.
So.
It's right up there. That is such a hard title to nail something down to, right?
Yeah.
But. Yeah. It's so much fun.
And, you know, we talked about Big Trouble in the cult episode, the cult movie episode.
Yes.
But if you didn't catch that episode or whatever, it's such a fun movie, such a weird movie, because it just shouldn't work the way it does. I mean, it didn't work with critics.
No.
But I don't care about that.
No. Which is why it's a cult movie.
Yeah, it's a cult classic. It's Kung Fu trucker movie.
Yep.
And with mysticism. And
yep.
Some comedy, lots of action, and
some of the best dialogue. Some of the best one-liners, two-liners. We really shook the pillars of heaven tonight, didn't we?
His delivery of those lines.
Yes.
Very John Wayne-esque sometimes.
Yeah. But it's all in the reflexes.
It's all in the reflexes. If you've never seen Big Trouble in China, this is another one that you can pause and go watch right now.
Yes.
It's literally, it changed my life. Because I did think, you know, I said this before, but like I thought I made that movie up.
Yeah.
Because it was like so weird, it shouldn't be a real movie. But it is. And, you know, it came out in 1986, which I don't know what was going on in the 80s, but.
The fact that he could even talk someone into letting him make this movie is amazing. But maybe they thought, oh, well, it's John Carpenter. Yeah. We've got this. This was another one that if it was on, my dad always stopped. And that is no joke on this one. The Big Trouble in Little China, okay, we're stopping to watch this one. And no matter where it was in it, and it, as a, you know, preteen, I absolutely just loved the movie. I used to, so the thing I loved about it most was, you know, you, Kung Fu trucker movie. The fact that USA all the time on Saturdays, I think it was, would do like these Kung Fu movie marathons on, I think it was Saturdays. And so I loved them. They're just great. They're goofy. You've got the action. And then you've got this. You kind of happen across this movie and the first time I'm just like, what is this? And yeah, just instantly fell in love with it. Again, did not know who John Carpenter was when I watched this movie. Didn't connect the dots until much later that, oh, well, that's... So this guy made Halloween? Oh, okay. It's absolutely one of the greatest movie villains of all time.
In
Lopan. Oh, my gosh. Just absolutely... There's not one thing wrong with it. And I take great pride in the fact that Wyatt loves this movie.
Yeah.
The first time he watched it with me, and then it was like, I want to say at least once a month we had to watch it. And so we ended up getting that on Blu-ray too, because it's such a good movie.
Now, I am just learning that he did not write Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, he just directed it.
Yeah, well, okay. He did the music too, which...
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and do this and say I have the on vinyl.
Yep.
And it came from a company called Mondo. And if you're a vinyl fan, if you like movie soundtracks, oh my God, get this vinyl. It's
great. A great soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack.
Again, it matches, it sets the tone for the movie so well.
Well, you want to talk about setting the tone and like going with the tone. Kurt Russell acts like crazy in this movie. Like this movie shouldn't work, but it works because Kurt Russell puts everything into it.
Yes.
Which is kind of Kurt Russell's MO.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I honestly, if he wasn't the lead actor in this, I don't know if it works.
I
think anyone else maybe phones it in. Because it's, oh, it's just a goofy, okay, all right.
Which is funny, because if you watch the movie, he is the main character, but is he the hero?
Oh, No.
No.
So. He's such a good foil.
Yeah.
He's literally the Jerry Lewis in this movie. Yeah,
he's the bumbling kind of buffoon.
Which is just great.
Yeah.
It is such.
There's now, layers.
There is a lot of layers. You go back and watch it. It's so much fun. And I'd be remiss if not saying so. They did end up, several years later, they end up having a comic series.
Yes.
That picks up right where it ends. Great comic.
Yes.
Great Loved read. And then, of course, they end up doing the crossover. You have some Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York crossover. And they have some fun with, you know, the two guys looking a lot alike and all that. but this is the pinnacle, in my mind, the John Carpenter pinnacle. Obviously, from a technical standpoint and maybe a story standpoint, The Thing is overall a better movie. Halloween, obviously, is the most iconic movie. Yeah. But man, Big Trouble in Little China, to me, it's the one that I can watch over and over and over again. As much as I love The Fog, and I love The Fog, Big Trouble in Little China.
It just has something for everybody, I think.
Yep.
So go watch it.
Now.
Right now. This one from 1987 has been on my list for a long time. Prince of Darkness.
Prince of Darkness.
Never seen it.
Oh.
But it's been on my to-watch list for years.
So I had never seen it either, and then watched it with Sharon and instantly fell in love. It is not your typical horror movie. But like a lot of John Carpenter movies, it's just this constant paranoid waiting, what's going to happen. And, man, you get that with this. It is such a great movie. It's one of those I wish I never would have sold it movies. I had it on DVD, and now I don't. And, man, to get it on video nowadays costs a lot of money.
Ooh.
It is such. It's well worth the watch. Well worth the watch. It's more of your thriller suspense. It's not blood and gore and slasher.
Yeah, it looks like it was written direct. Oh, Donald Pleasance is in it.
Yes. Alice Cooper's in it.
Really?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
How have I not seen this movie?
Maybe we should pause the podcast so you can go
take
watch
our own advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth the watch.
Okay, that's definitely, I mean, that's been on my list. Every John Carpenter movie is on my list, at least that he directed. But he wrote, directed, and composed this movie,
yes.
So that's very, so, so his, the 80s for him were just, like, crazy. He has a movie almost every year.
King of the 80s.
King of the 80s. Now to a movie that I actually have seen.
Uh-huh.
So I won't just be dead weight. 1988's They Live.
Oh.
This is another one we talked about.
It sure is.
The great Roddy Piper stars in this movie about aliens infiltrating Earth.
Yep.
It's a brilliant social commentary.
Yes.
That, as we said before, kind of is more relevant today than it was back then.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if John Carpenter looks on in horror as...
He's like a soothsayer.
Yeah.
Nostradamus of horror movies.
That's right.
Yeah. If you haven't watched it, one, you should. It's a great watch. It's right up there with one of my favorites of his. Roddy Piper surprisingly gives a really good performance.
Yeah.
He is great as that character. Again, one of the most quotable movie lines ever, right? If you've never watched this movie, you know the line. I've come here to kick butt and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
Yeah.
But he doesn't say but.
No.
I remember watching this with Maddie, and she absolutely loved it because she was old enough that she could understand the subliminal. Jiminy Christmas.
Take two.
Whew, subliminal.
Yes.
There we go. Messages. When I first watched it, I was just... You know,
yeah,
some
same.
Young dumb kid, and I'm just like, oh, okay, oh, I get it. There's bad messages and everything we do. I had no idea, and she really just got into it, and we still talk about it, or she'll send me something. It's like, oh,
yeah.
This could have been in They Live, huh? And so, you know, I'm always one that I just want to be entertained by my movies, but he does such a good job of interweaving the entertainment with the great commentary,
yeah,
that you don't feel like you're being preached at. And yeah, it's just so good.
Yeah, it doesn't feel preachy. It makes you open your eyes.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is this real? Like, this is society. So, yeah, I can't say enough good things about that one. Love Roddy Piper. Love that movie. That might, you know what? That might be the first one I watched that I knew was John Carpenter. Because I was a wrestling fan as a kid.
Oh.
So I watched it because of Roddy Piper.
That could be. Yeah. It's hard for me to determine anymore.
Yeah. John Carpenter's life.
Yeah.
He takes a couple of years off. Well-deserved rest.
Yeah.
And comes back with the memoirs of an invisible man.
So, which we talked about. I had totally forgotten he was connected to this at all. I may never have known. I'm not sure. But I had to rewatch the trailer for this because I know I've watched it. But it's just like, yeah, I don't know that I'll be rewatching this. Sam Neill's in it, the great Sam Neill.
Is he really?
He is. Daryl Hannah's in it. Yep. Chevy Chase, of course, is the Invisible Man. I can't remember a whole lot about it. And I rewatched the trailer and, you know, Chevy Chase has got some lines that you would expect Chevy Chase to have. Now, did he write it or did he just direct it?
He just directed it.
But I can't say a lot about this movie because I believe I've only watched it once or twice, and it definitely was a long time ago. Back in the day, as one would say.
It doesn't seem like it was very well received or anything. So I don't know about that one.
That will not get our seal of approval.
It's weird because it's a comedy too, right?
Well, so if you watch the trailer, it's got some funny quips, but then there's also the whole he's being hunted by Sam Neill and his men because he's an asset. I think it's more comedy than anything because obviously there's a lot of invisible jokes with him and Daryl Hannah and their love interest and whatnot. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure I liked it when I watched it the first time and I was younger, but watching the trailer, it's like, no, I don't think I'm going to be moving on to that for any reason.
And that brings us to 1994's In the Mouth of Madness.
Oh, now this one. Oof.
I still haven't seen this one, but I have heard.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm kind of afraid to watch this one because I've heard it's so intense.
Yes.
I've heard it's quite, that's another one with Sam Neill.
Yes. Sam Neill's performance in this is absolutely amazing. It is. So this is another one of those, not your typical horror. It's more of your suspense thriller, paranoid. And it's just, you do have the horror feel to it in certain aspects, but it's more of your psychological thriller. It is just, and the ending to it is
that's what I've heard. It's intense.
It is, you sit there and you go through this whole thing and you're just kind of like on the edge of your seat and you're just kind of like, and then you get to the ending and you're just like, oh my gosh, what? And absolutely. That's another one of those. That's probably like Prince of Darkness. We eventually had gotten rid of that. Yeah. And I horribly regret that. It's such a great movie. Definitely need to watch that.
Okay. It's been on my list for years.
That needs to be the top of your John Carpenter list.
Top of the list.
Yes.
Top of the pops.
Yes.
Okay. So that one comes with high recommendation. I'm going to be watching that. 1996.
Ooh.
No, I'm sorry. I skipped a year. In 1995, Village of the Damned.
Village of the Damned.
And this is another one I haven't seen, but it's about the kids, right?
It's about the kids. So the whole town, passes out.
Oh, okay.
And then all of a sudden, all the women were pregnant.
Oh, geez.
And then you've got the kids. And there's something off.
Yeah.
So I've only watched this once or twice. Had completely forgotten about it. I knew it still existed. What I had forgotten is that it stars Superman and Luke Skywalker. I rewatched the trailer just a few days ago so I could remind myself of, I vaguely remembered the plot. But I'm like, oh, I'll watch it. Totally forgot Kirstie Alley was in it. But yeah, to see Christopher Reeve, in there, and then see Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill,
yeah,
dressed up as a priest with a sniper rifle. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, I definitely forgot all this. So I think I'm going to go back and rewatch it. I'm pretty sure I saw it streamable on one of the sites. I remember liking it. Again, it's one of those different psychological type things, more eerie than, you know, slasher, which I can appreciate those types of movies. I love slasher movies, but it's also fun to kind of freak yourself out.
Yeah.
So.
That's good. Yeah, I'll have to watch that one. The cover looks kind of scary. It's got all those kids on it.
It's just, well, and I think I've mentioned it on here before, you throw kids into a horror movie and it just freaks me out. I don't know why, but it just gets me. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to rewatch that too so that I can give a better rating on it. I do remember liking it when I watched it, though.
Okay, now we're in 1996. This is one of my first memories of John Carpenter, Escape from L.A.
Oh, God.
Which I grew up to realize wasn't
a
great movie.
No.
But as a kid, I sure loved it.
I remember watching it going, Dad and I watching it, thinking we were going to get Escape from New York. And I'm like, is Snake Plissken playing basketball?
Yeah.
Wait, is he surfing?
Yeah.
What the heck's going on here?
I thought he played basketball in Escape from New York.
Was it Escape from New York?
I think it is.
I thought he was the gladiator in Escape from New York.
I don't remember. They blend together in my mind.
Oh my gosh. Well, now I feel terrible.
I don't know.
Basketball's pretty ridiculous, too.
Maybe you're right.
I thought it was the gladiator in the boxing ring
in the first one. You're right. Yeah, I liked Escape from LA a lot as a kid because it had Kurt Russell in it, and it was just this weird
movie. He's Snake again.
But see, I'd never seen New York.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Seen LA. That's true, yeah.
This was one of my first forays. I saw L.A. like a bunch of times, and then I saw New York.
Now, I will say this about Escape from L.A. As much grief as I gave it after watching it, I would categorize it as a good, bad movie. Yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting is I have read before that, I think I read this, maybe I made it up, but that John Carpenter actually liked L.A. better than New York.
Oh, well, that could be.
You know, I know how that goes, but...
Look, to each their own, right? I will still watch it. But it's not, hey, you know what? I want to see Escape from LA today. It's more going around, can't figure out anything to watch, and oh, I can stream that? Okay. Yeah, I'll put that on. Why not? Then I'll probably end up doing something else while I'm watching it.
Escape from reality is what that should be called.
Yeah, not his best effort.
No. But he did write and direct that one. Did he write New York? I don't remember. I think I said this already.
Yeah, he wrote, directed, and did the music.
Yeah, he did the music for L.A. too.
Yeah.
All right. 1998, Vampires. Not a big fan of this movie.
See, I didn't mind Vampires.
It's all right.
It's okay.
But he didn't write it, so maybe that's why.
Well, that's probably it. I will have to try to remember. So that's got... James Woods, right?
Yep.
Did John Bon Jovi have anything to do
with
that?
See, I'm trying to figure that out because in my mind,
he's there. Is that a Mandela effect?
In my mind, he's there. Let's look at the cast list.
Here we go, folks. He's feverishly searching.
Wait, I clicked on the wrong movie.
Oh, boy. There we go.
I'm like, where is James Woods in this movie?
I could have sworn John Bon Jovi had something to do with Vampires. And it's funny that you thought that, too.
Cheryl Lee was in this movie. Cheryl Lee is Laura Palmer from Twin Peaks. I forgot all about that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see John Bon Jovi on here, but I'm pretty sure he's in there at some point.
Oh, gosh. That's... If anyone else... has seen Vampires and has the faintest memory of John Bon Jovi being attached to it. Please help us regain our sanity.
Like, in my mind, he's there. He's in the movie.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
That's funny.
I don't know. That one was okay, I guess.
It was... That's it. It was okay. it wasn't, it's worth a watch, but it's not going to be the greatest thing you've ever watched. Not going to be the worst thing you've ever watched. It's definitely not the John Carpenter movie I would suggest to watch if you've never watched a John Carpenter movie and you want to experience John Carpenter.
Well,
that ain't it.
There's only one thing that I would say I suggest less than that, and that's 2001's Ghost of Mars. Oof.
So I've never watched that, so take it.
Ghost of Mars I watched as a kid. I think I liked it as a kid because it was like weirdly colored and like Ice Cube was in it. I don't remember too much about it. I just know that there are ghosts on Mars and they're hostile.
Yeah.
It doesn't really do anything for me.
I watched the trailer and that's the only thing that I could say is I've watched the trailer and it did not compel me to want to watch the movie. Sorry, John.
Yeah, it's not one of his like must-see movies.
Yeah.
I don't think, but I mean, the thing is, you have such a string of hits in the 80s, and, you know,
not everything's going to be gold.
No. And that was his last... Well, no, that's not true. His last directorial credit was The Ward.
Yes.
Which we talked about a little bit, I think, but I've never seen this movie.
Yeah. That we have seen. So it was funny. So I could have sworn that we had seen it, right?
Yeah.
And Sharon was saying that we hadn't. So I popped on the trailer. And about halfway through the trailer, it was, well, maybe we have seen this. So maybe that speaks to the type of movie it is. I could have sworn I remembered at least liking it. I didn't love it. But it went back to having kind of that John Carpenter feel as far as the horror and the suspense and the psychological thrilling to it.
That's good.
But it definitely, you know, it's one of those things that I love so much of his stuff. And to look at that as being the last thing he directed, it's like, oh, I wish that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, you look at the last few of his movies, and none of them are really fantastical. Yeah. I mean, if Escape from L.A. was the last thing he did, it would have been, well, at least, you know, he ended it with his character. Yeah. But yeah, so definitely the 80s... is where it's at for John Carpenter.
Yeah, and that's the
late 70s.
They were so concentrated then in the 80s that it is hard to, you know, sustain that kind of creative vision.
Well, so. And he was someone who liked having a, as you can see, he wrote, directed, did the music, produced. So I mean, he strikes me as someone that probably fought with studio execs quite a bit, and I'm sure that's tiring. I do know that, was it Deborah Hill that he did a lot of productions with? I believe she passed in the 80s, late 80s maybe? I'd have to look that up. And so you take away one of your partners in your craft. And so, yeah. But, you know, I can't say enough good things about the stuff that he did in the 80s, though. I mean, you pick any of those movies.
Well, you know what's funny about that is, like, in the 80s, he came out with all this great stuff, but nobody liked it in the 80s.
Right. He's literally kind of, he's like the cinema version of Van Gogh, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he hits it out of the park with Halloween, and then, you know, The Thing even wasn't a huge hit when it first came out. It's got the huge following now.
Yeah.
But, he's definitely one of those, he's not appreciated until well after the work has come out type.
Well, that's
creators.
Very disheartening. So I'm sure his later movies, he just probably didn't care as much because he was like, I people don't care about these movies. Yeah. But then.
I don't know. I would definitely, you pick any of those movies from the 80s, and you've got yourself
a good time.
A good time. Good time. Absolutely. Yeah. Gosh. Thank you, John Carpenter, for everything you've contributed.
So we salute you, sir.
Absolutely. Because I could tell you, between Big Trouble, for sure, and They Live in the 80s, gosh, we watched those so many times. Starman, we watched a ton of times. My dad wasn't a huge horror movie fan, so we didn't watch Halloween all that much. Yeah. But, you can't go wrong with any of them.
No.
Go watch, do yourself a favor, watch some John Carpenter.
Yeah, and watch, you know, watch them and let us know what you think.
Absolutely.
Which ones were your favorite, which ones didn't land for you, whatever. Yeah.
And if you're a John Carpenter fan like us, what's your favorite John Carpenter movie? What do you absolutely love? What would be your top five? Yeah. And hit us up on Instagram, Facebook.
Twitter.
The Twitter. I keep forgetting about Twitter because I'm not on the...
Yeah, it's very... We need more Twitter followers, so come on.
Start tweeting at
us.
Let's
go.
Although, I can't in good conscience tell people to go on Twitter if they haven't. I mean, I'm not a huge Elon Musk fan, so...
Well, hey, let's save that for another...
Yeah.
We'll save that for... We'll do a hot take on that sometime.
Yeah. Sure. Let's try to stay away from stuff like that.
Yeah, so... Well...
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. I hope you enjoyed... the episode. If you already were a fan of John Carpenter, hopefully we, you know, didn't lose you. And if you weren't, hopefully you are now and go watch something and tell us about it.
Yeah.
All right. You got anything else?
Just beware the fog. You know, the thing is among us.
Oof.
And it's all in the reflexes.
All right. All right. Thanks, guys. Remember, stay nerdy.